email ray@rte.ie. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Next guest is a very proud Mayo man who's known to Stevie Nicks herself as Mr. Delicious. He's a social media sensation, no less, with nearly 1 million followers on both TikTok and Instagram. And he's here to tell us more about himself and what he does. Garan Noon. Good afternoon.
How are you, Keith, and how are you getting on?
See that, Garan Noon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. A lot of people think my name is actually Garan. They think it's a pseudonym when they read it. They think it's Garan No One. They think I'm trying to be edgy. I think it's some sort of cool showbiz name, but I'm like, no, it's Garan Noon.
but they probably think you have changed your name because Garan is a name I've never encountered before in my life.
Yeah.
So do people think you're Darren?
Yeah, well, when I meet people in person, I get like Darren or Gary, or nobody ever thinks Garan, but Garan, I don't know any other person called Garan.
In the world?
I found some in the world, but like not in, I've never You've met never somebody else in okay, real life.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So where did that name come from?
So my dad was a massive Elvis fan, like he was absolutely obsessed with Elvis, and he wanted to call me Elvis. But my mother wasn't having any of that. And Elvis had a twin brother that died at birth. His name was Jesse Garan. And they were going to call me Jesse. But when I came out, my mother said, he looks more like a Garan. Now, Jesse Garan only had one R in his middle name. So they added an extra R for me. So it's even more unique.
Garan.
Garan.
And isn't Elvis's middle name Aaron?
Aaron, yeah. That's
Which
it.
Rhymes with Garan.
Yeah, Elvis Aaron and Jesse Garan. That was them, yeah.
Right.
So there you go. So it's also the name of a very small breed of Scottish horse.
Spelled the same way, is it?
Yeah, spelled the same way. Right. And if you look it up, it says it's a small, useless... it's an undersized, useless beast. You can Google that. You'll find it on Wikipedia.
You like that sort of stuff, don't you?
What?
You like that sort of, you know, that sort of trivia.
Yes, oh yeah. Yes, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And you like statistics. So we have something in common there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we better get to Stevie Nicks first because we've sorted out the name. Stevie Nicks. So she was in Dublin recently playing the Three Arena, horror of Fleetwood Mac. Amazing woman. And she gives you what they call, I suppose, a name check, does she?
I was absolutely amazed, yeah. So I was actually around the arena when people were going down. I didn't go to the gig. And they're like, oh, Stevie Nicks is on. I was like, oh, I can't believe I'm missing Stevie Nicks. I'm a huge Stevie Nicks fan. But later on, I start getting messages like, Stevie Nicks has shouted you out. And I thought people were messing with me. But then they sent me videos. She quoted my video and everything. She was like, I love you, Mr. I'm Delicious. I was absolutely shook. Yeah.
And this is the odd thing as well, which is nearly Irish, because she was quoted saying she was introduced to you by a friend and she didn't think she'd like you.
Yeah, she thought I wasn't going to be funny. Yeah,
which means
and I won her over. Yes. I won over Stevie Nicks from the bottom, yes.
It is that Irish thing, isn't it? I didn't think I'd like you, but I used to like you, but I do now.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah. I'll absolutely take that. Listen, if nothing else happens to me in my life, I have that forever. So,
So she called you Mr. Delicious because at the end of all your social media posts, mm-hmm. you say,
"Follow me, I'm delicious."
Now we've put together some of your best "Follow me, I'm delicious."
Oh,
very
nice.
It's 14 seconds of it, Garan.
Follow me, I'm delicious. Follow me. I'm delicious. Follow me, I'm delicious. Also, enthusiasm about anything is not very Irish. Follow me, I'm delicious. I need to have a sit down. Follow me, I'm delicious.
Where did that... But it's a catchphrase and people shout it at you now when they see you on the street.
Yeah, it's mad, yeah. Like, honestly, I was out there and two members of staff walk by me and go, you're delicious. And then some fella goes, oh, my wife is delicious. Can I take a picture with you to send her? It's such a random thing, but yeah, it's...
How did it happen?
So I started posting TikToks about just over a year and a half ago. And it was really just to stop annoying people on my Instagram page with my nonsense. So I started putting them up and I got a few views on like the second or third one. I got maybe like 60 or 70,000 views. And then I thought, you know what? It doesn't take long to make a TikTok. I'll fire one up every day and see where it goes. Yeah. So I said I'd make one every day, even if I had no ideas. And some of them were bleak. So one day I uploaded a video. It was it wasn't funny at all. It had no merit to exist whatsoever. So I said, what I'll do now is I'm just going to shout something random at the end.
Right.
So I put the camera really close up to my face and I went, follow me, I'm delicious. And only about 1,500 people ever saw that video. But the people that did in every subsequent video said, why didn't you do your sign off? Why didn't you do follow me? I'm delicious. That's your thing. So they kind of forced it on me.
And it's your thing.
And it's now my thing. Yeah.
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 And you do, you like, I saw you go through the different types of pasta.
Important science.
Yes,
yeah.
So you only got you didn't get beyond one, I think.
Yeah, I had a lot to say about farfalle, yeah. Yeah, it's definitely the worst pasta shape. I like to do things with the videos to kind of deliberately annoy people. If anybody wants tips for TikTok views, here's one. Deliberately annoy people. So I'll write out a whole list of stuff. And I'll only go through the first one. And then I won't make the video about the other stuff for months.
Yeah, but I think that's a bit like your catchphrase in that that's not deliberate. You just talk a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Because I give myself a minute to make the video and I'm like, right, I'll squeeze these four topics in. And then I'm halfway through the first topic and it's been 2.5 minutes.
Follow me, I'm delicious.
Yeah.
So let's find out a little bit about you. So you're Ballina Mayo.
Yeah.
Right. So you're interested in that you left school at what age?
I was around 14 or 15, I'd say, when I left school. Yeah.
Right. So, why did you leave school at that age?
I at the time I was having really bad panic attacks, so I couldn't go into school. I used to be agoraphobic, so I couldn't really leave my house for like 4 or 5 years. I'd have a lot of panic attacks.
Hold on now, you're flying through stuff there.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
yeah. So agoraphobia is something that we normally associate with, you know, people of a certain age, maybe, and mostly women. I think that's traditionally the way it was. So you're 13, 14 in Ballina.
Yeah.
And you can't go outside the door.
Yeah. So it was probably, I'd say I was about 15 when it kicked in. One of my friends had died. Uh-huh. And that triggered this thing in me where I thought I was going to die, basically. And then I would start having loads of panic attacks. And they sort of started off where I'd have one every couple of weeks. And then they got progressively worse. And they got progressively worse to the point where I would have them 3 or 4 times a day. And they'd be triggered by almost everything. So when it got really bad, I couldn't even leave my bedroom. Sometimes I'd be like, I wouldn't be able to go to the toilet for 2 hours because I'd be having a panic attack. So so it got very bad for a while, but I did CBT then. Yeah. And so that's cognitive behavioral therapy. So you just take really small steps and it's quite hard to get out of. But one of the good things is if you are suffering with that, even though it's very hard to get through, it is one of the things that has one of the highest treatment rates. So if you go through treatment, it's very fixable.
Yeah, and it changes your thinking about things.
Yes.
And is exposure therapy part of that?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
So it's baby steps. And literally in your case, it was baby steps outside the door.
Yeah, I used to go outside the front door and I'd walk around in a circle for like 10 steps and I'd start to feel myself have a panic attack and then I'd come back in and I'd go out an hour later and do the same thing again. Until, because the deeper part of, I'm not a psychologist or anything, but this is my understanding, the sort of like, deep part of your brain, like the amygdala, it works a lot faster than you can think. So you have
this
to...
This is the flight or fight part of your
fight
brain.
Or flight response, yeah. So you have to trick that part of your brain back into realizing that normal life is safe. Once it triggers, you really can't think your way out of it. So you have to kind of bring it back to the understanding that...
Yes, and give the rational side of your brain power again, I suppose.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
And was the thinking, and you know, there's no logic in this, but was the thinking because your friend had died and you were fearful that you were going to die, that by not doing anything... that there's no possibility that you could encounter an accident or somebody would murder you or whatever.
That was basically it. So it would start, the way that you develop like really severe panic attacks is, it'll start with things that make a lot of sense. So it'll start with things like your best friend has just died, that's going to give somebody a panic attack probably. Then what happens is you become fearful of the actual panic attacks because they're so severe.
Yes.
So if you've had a really bad panic attack, it feels like you're going to die or that you're going to go crazy or whatever.
It feels like a heart attack. People describe it as a heart attack, yeah.
So after a while, it becomes not a fear of the situations, but it becomes a fear of the panic attacks you have in situations. And that's what makes it really bad.
So you suffered this for years?
Yes, yeah.
And as a result, you stopped going to school?
Yeah, stopped going to school, stopped doing everything. I got a job then when I was about 18, but I would just get a taxi to work and then I would just get a taxi home and that was all I did. I didn't go out or anything for 10 years. I didn't socialise or anything like that, really.
You're making up for it now.
I do plenty of socializing now at these soirees.
But a lot of talking as well. A lot of pent up talking to be.
Oh yeah, that's why I talk so much crap.
So then Farogia is important to you, you know, and people who know Farogia, it's a sort of a, it's a national youth organisation.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
And what part do they play in your life?
So Farogia and to a bigger extent as well, Youthreach. So I went to Youthreach. So I did my Leaving Cert when I was 21.
Right.
I went back to school after and they were very supportive of me. Like I dropped out of there 4 or 5 times because I couldn't do it and they kept bringing me back in and encouraging me. So I like working with them. I do a bit with them and other people that work with disadvantaged youth because I kind of come from that sort of background myself. My dad died when I was very young and my mother was sick when I was very young, so I didn't go to school a lot. We didn't have a lot of money, that sort of thing. And I think when you're in that situation, you don't necessarily see a way forward. So I as a person who has come through that and I've managed to get a job teaching and then I managed to the TikTok, whatever.
Yes.
I think sometimes they're more amenable to listen to me because I come from the same situation as them. I'm not somebody who's had the traditional route. So I'll go in and have a chat with them and just let them know that no matter what situation you're in, you can pull yourself out of it, even if it seems impossible. Which it does. Like a lot of them haven't had an encouraging word in their life. Nobody's ever said anything to them that they can do anything. So
your parents were too busy just surviving?
Yeah, well, my dad died when I was very young. Right. And my mother was quite sick when I was a kid, so she wasn't really able to do that sort of stuff. She's great now. She's mighty now. I'm very proud of her. But at the time, she was quite sick. Yeah.
Yeah. But she must be very proud of you, is she?
She might be. She's a Mayo woman. She's a country woman. I wouldn't know if she was.
It's a bit of a go at the end.
I'm sure she
she's
is.
She's Irish as well. She's Irish as well.
Yeah.
So the music, you mentioned the music. So your mum played music.
Yeah. My mother used to play, she'd play a few songs on the guitar when I was a kid, like House the Rising Sun and some Dubliner songs and all that sort of stuff. And old songs from the 50s. And I just used to find it fascinating that she could just sit down and play a song. And I thought she was amazing. So I always wanted to learn guitar just from a very young age, just because I thought I was just fascinated with it. And then when I was about probably 10 or 11, I took it up and started learning. And that's. So I've always gigged and stuff like that as well.
So the music came first and the comedy came second. Is that fair enough?
I wouldn't really say it's comedy. It's like,
how would you describe it then?
It's just kind of talking nonsense on the internet. Like it's a, I'd be lying to you if I said I fully understood why people are watching the videos. It's basically just me like shouting at a cup of tea or I'll put something up in the background and talk about it. I do a bit of stand-up comedy now, but it was never something I had any interest in.
There was one about Irish men not being attractive, was there? Was it?
Oh, yeah. Do you hear about that? Yeah. Apparently we're the least attractive men in the world. Right. I struggle to comprehend
look
that.
At me, Gary,
yeah,
look at
I
me.
Mean, look at us. We're the cream of the crop here.
Yeah. So you're the king of self-deprecation, which comes to you quite naturally.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah, it's not a contrivance. It's
no,
real. Yeah.
No, not really. I think there's a bit of a stigma with self-deprecation where people think that you shouldn't do it.
Yeah.
Like they're like, oh, you know, you shouldn't talk like that about yourself. I find it funny. I think it's my human right to make fun of myself if it makes me happy.
But it's interesting because, you know, people talk about this negative voice that you have in your head.
Yeah.
And maybe if you say it out loud, it sort of dissipates it.
Yeah.
As opposed to keeping it inside
I feel quite good about myself. That's why I'm happy to make fun of. And I find as well, like the negative comments, again, CBT might have helped with this. The negative comments don't really get to me at all. Like if somebody writes a big negative thing about me, most of the time, I partially agree with them and I find it funny. Like they're not always fully wrong.
but the majority is positive.
Oh,
it's
like 99% positive. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I'm very lucky in that regard. So
if you don't understand what you do, how do you continue doing it? Do you know what I'm saying? And how do you monetize it and how do you sell it, or is that not a concern of yours?
Yeah, so the way I do things is I just made videos and then whatever kind of people, I like that they entertain people. Like I get a lot of messages of people saying, oh, you know, I share these with my daughter and we laugh at them together and stuff. I think that's great.
Yeah.
So what I did was I just kind of put up a load of ideas I had, things I thought were funny, and whatever kind of works, I might stick with it a bit and then I try out other bits. And if that kind of works, I'll stick with that for a while.
Because you get immediate feedback.
Because yeah, you know
straight away.
But it's, yes.
I know within 10 minutes of people like a video. So it's, I can tell how it's doing based on my other videos because I've uploaded so many.
Yes. And what's the top one now? And how many hits did that get?
There's a good few. Like if it's cross-platform, there's one where I'm shouting about a theme park ride that looks particularly scary.
Oh, I've seen that one, yeah. So it's a vertical drop.
Yes. Yes, yes. I think that one has like 25 million views on TikTok and Instagram. Then there's another one, me giving out about Twisters. There's a like a Twister manufacturer. So it's a factory where they make Twister ice creams.
Oh, yes, I've seen that one as well. Jeez, yeah. I've seen a lot of your stuff. And they
I think that one has about 25 million as well.
They
yeah.
put the sticks in.
The sticks, they're just firing them in.
Yeah, they're not very happy at all. Yeah.
What is so funny about that?
Hold on, I have to take a commercial break. They're telling me I have two to take before. You talk a lot, as you know, and it's all very entertaining, but we have to take a commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gara Noon is with us. So what are they saying here? What a breath of fresh air Garen is. I love his videos. They always bring a smile to my face, no matter what day. Can you tell him from me that the world needs his humour and is a better place for it?
Ah, thank you so much.
Can you ask him what's his favourite biscuit for dipping in the tay? That's Paul in Kilrush. Come on, the banner.
Paul, I'm going to have to tell you, you're not going to like this because I think it's too simple, but it's the chocolate digestive. Now, I know what you're saying, Paul. You'd rather a hobnob. They're a bit fancier, right? Paul, you can't afford them. They're too expensive. And also, they create a layer of silt in the bottom of the cup that I do not enjoy. Yeah. It's a cleaner job with the chocolate digestive.
You see, the chocolate creates a film on top. Because you melt the chocolate.
You're dipping too long.
All right,
you're dipping too long.
Too long.
Okay, well, yeah. You're playing a dangerous game.
Yeah. Hello to Garen from his former English teacher. Garen was a very gentle, quiet boy at school whom I rarely asked a question of because he was shy.
Yeah, that's accurate enough.
I'm thrilled for him that he's found his voice, both singing and comedic. Goes to show that schools are sometimes not the best places for drawing out a student's wonderful talents. Hilary Lyons.
Well, thank you very much, Hilary. I have to say now, my experience in school wasn't necessarily that bad compared to most people. And definitely when I went to Youth Reach was very helpful. I don't think I would have got anywhere without the help of them bringing me in all the time and kind of pushing me to do it. So I'm very appreciative for it.
I think it was slightly prophetic because the guy who played the news today, I'll get his name, he played a 2FM sting instead of a Radio 1 sting at the end. Aidan Fitzsimons. Aidan, he apologised for it. But there are jobs going over there. And then somebody says, Shona says, I follow Garen and he's hilarious. He should have a show on RTE. He's delicious. Absolutely fabulous.
Thank you. You're delicious as well. Stay delicious.
Yeah. Would that be something you'd like to do or...
Yeah, I mean, I'd give it a go. I don't know how good I'd be at it. It's a different thing. I think when you do one thing, I think people automatically expect you to be good at something else. Just because I'm able to entertain people on TikTok, I don't know if that means I'd be good at the radio. But I'd give it a go. I'd give it a chance.
But you're bright. You're likable. You're engaging. You're funny. You know, you've.
Jeez, I wish I was recording this. Can I play this back?
You tick a lot of boxes, so
I'd love to try it for sure. Yeah,
well, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Garen Noon, Garon, not to be confused with the small useless horse. Garen, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
Really enjoyed that.
Appreciate it.
We have to take another commercial break, do we?
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.